you hear me? Here we are. Hello, good people. How are you doing? Welcome to another Cow Daily. This episode, we're going to talk about why I think Boris Johnson's coming back. I've been going on about it for long enough, so I thought it was about time that I stated my case, seeing as the media in general appear to be paving the way for this to occur. We're going to explore an international far-right network that we can demonstrate there's links to, more than a few. And just generally how the media appear to be soft soap and the way for this dafty to come back in. And others, of course, these allies and whatnot. There's a lot of information to get through as ever, but it's worth it. There's plenty of video and plenty of other good stuff as well. Before we do that, though, please do comment, rate, and subscribe. We are doing well in the charts, flying up, and that's thanks to you. But also, tell a friend to tell a friend. If we're going to compete with the BBC, which we are doing, but stay there and actually exceed that, then they have virtually an unlimited budget for this and we have not. So if you could go to just tell a friend, let them know what we're doing, share this video with them, it'd be much appreciated. So as I say, if you go to patreon.com/cowdaily to make a regular contribution to our work, also links in the description to our PayPal if you want to make a one-off donation, it would be greatly appreciated. Thank you very much. Good to see yous. Right, we'll just crack on with the show, I think, because we've got a hell of a lot to get through today. I wasn't actually going to record today, but I just felt like I should. We've started doing this on Wednesday. We'll put out a pre-recorded interview, which will still be happening. But I just really felt like I needed to get this out. So here we are. So starting off, I just wanted to sort of set the scene as to what's been happening. So this is from Good Morning Britain yesterday, and this is Bannerman, one of the Tory ghouls.
Pincergate, let's be frank, what many people describe as liargate. I mean, is credible the right word of choice? I mean, maybe colourful, but credible?
Well, I mean, Boris delivered Brexit. You know, he's very popular still amongst members. Two-thirds of members would have him back. And all the polls show that the public still like Boris. I think he's a great asset to the party. I should say I do support Liz Truss, but if MPs get rid of her, which they're trying to do, some of those, then Boris is the only alternative. You know, we can't have another new face coming at this stage. It would look like a complete
joke. Wouldn't it look really strange to have a prime minister who'd been booted out come back maybe
by
7 weeks later?
But you see, he's never been voted out by the members. I wanted a Boris ballot. I argued for that through Conservative Post. But, you know, and he's not been booted out by the public. There is still an enormous amount of support for him. Even after Partygate, months of going at him, we're only 3 or 4% behind in the polls at that stage. Now we're 30-plus behind in the polls.
36 this morning.
36, it gets worse. So, look, Boris is a great electoral asset. As I say, I do support Liz, but if they push her out, which seems to be going on at the moment, then we have to have Boris back.
We have to have Boris back. I mean, notwithstanding all of the absolute dirt, I mean, they're talking about like him being pushed out and just completely overriding the fact that he's done all of the dirt that he has, which we haven't got time to go into in this show because you'll see why. Also, his, what could you call that? Greatest ally, Nadine Dorries. She tweeted this yesterday. There is no unity candidate. No one has enough support. Only one MP has a mandate from party members and from the British public, a mandate with an 80-seat majority. Aye, based on a lie. Boris Johnson. The choices are simple. Back Liz. If not, bring back Boris or face a GE within weeks. General election, of course. Dorries also tweeted this out. This is a quote, tweeting the Times and the Sunday Times. Labour is training shadow cabinet ministers on how to be in government as the party prepares for power. Her response is Tory MPs who orchestrated the coup and consistently campaigned against Boris Johnson made this possible. Sunak, Hunt, Stride, Baker, Javid, Harper et al. If he was still PM, Labour wouldn't be wasting their money because they would know they were facing another GE defeat. Now, interesting. I mean, unsurprising from Nadine Dorries, who, I mean, any of you who've seen that picture of her just with the thirst look in Parliament looking at him, there's something going on there. But this is what's being said also. This is from a local, just local media, Bedfordshire Live. Bedfordshire MP Nadine Dorries warns Tories face complete wipeout as infighting continues. It says, Prime Minister apparently being urged to move to Ms. Doris's safe mid-Bedfordshire seat. And in quotes, Nadine Doris is widely expected to be offered a peerage by Boris Johnson, with the former Prime Minister apparently being urged to move to Ms. Doris's safe mid-Bedfordshire seat. Oh, my God. So, kind of interesting, really, when you think about it. Something important to remember is, and we've said this like many times, the establishment is not one homogenous block, right? There's factions, infighting, like worse than most places you can think of. So bear that in mind when we look at it, and let's try and look at it through that lens. When the establishment is confronted or from the outside, i.e. the Jeremy Corbyn era, the establishment tend to like move in encircle the wagons. So the establishment can include people who aren't in the Conservative Party. In fact, I'd strongly suggest here that the Labour Party is the second wing of the establishment bird. Like, again, we've got to move forward with this particular show today. So always as a primer, try and check that out for yourself and look at previous shows that we've done where we can illustrate these things. So what I'd like to do now is introduce you to something called the movement. Just bear with us and I should pull this up. What the movement is a right-wing populist group. And what is it about and what has it got to do with this? First, some background. The movement is a Brussels-based right-wing populist organization founded by Steve Bannon. Now, Steve Bannon, this isn't the last time you're going to be hearing about him. Take it from me. Steve Bannon, the United States, to promote white right-wing populist and economic nationalist groups in Europe that are opposed to the European Union government and political structures of Europe. The organization was expected to hire tenfold time staff in Brussels. In January 2017, Michel Modricarmen, leader of the People's Party in Belgium, officially registered the group. Background, Bannon initially discussed his plans for the organization with the Daily Beast, saying he wanted to create a populist supergroup bloc that could win up to a third of 700 plus members of the European Parliament. He said he thought the idea was invited to speak at a hotel hosted by Marine Le Pen. Bannon also believes that Sweden's 2018 elections create the perfect timing to launch the movement. He says the movement stands as a counterpoint to George Soros's Open Society Foundation. Bannon has referred to Soros as evil but brilliant and expressed a desire to promote nationalism instead of globalism. That is a little bit rich coming from him, but we've got a lot to cover, so we'll move on. Their first meeting in July 2018 was organized and attended by Nigel Farage. In September 2018, it was reported that France's National Rally Party, that's Le Pen's, would be joining the movement. Italy, and those who've been following the work I've been doing recently will know about the breakdown of Giorgia Meloni's rise to power there. Go there for more information on that. So the five-star movement, MS5, met with Bannon and spoke positively of the movement. Also, Geert Wilders from Holland. Wilders said he arranged to meet Bannon in the Netherlands to discuss the group. Another such contact is Thierry Baudet, leader of another Eurosceptic opposition party in the Netherlands, Forum for Democracy. There'll be more on that in coming weeks. I went to Holland in the summer and learned a lot about the Dutch farmers' protests because I was living around it. His name came up and I looked more into it, but again, we'll move on from that. Key point down here at the bottom, though, the Brothers of Italy and the Coalition Party League. The Brothers of Italy is Meloni's. Go check that out. So bringing it back to this, that's the introduction to the movement. International Fascist Network, a bit more on Bannon himself. He founded Breitbart, which is a far-right independent media organization funded by some interesting people who will introduce later. Also, arguably, he was behind Trump getting elected. So, as we can see, this is a transatlantic movement, probably more, if we're bloody honest with ourselves. So, anyway, here's a bit more. Boris Johnson denied, as we'll see in a bit, ever having any kind of links with Bannon or formalized anyway. Here's Bannon in a video from, I believe, 2018, saying otherwise.
So today we're going to see if Boris Johnson tries to overthrow the British government. It'll be at Commons. He's going to give a speech in Commons today that's going to throw down. He just went back to the Daily Telegraph as a columnist.
I've been talking to him all weekend about this speech.
Did you talk to him on the phone?
Went back and forth over text. It's just easier. I talked to him initially on the phone, but then it's just easier to go back and forth on text. I've been telling him that my recommendation is that he gave the one of the most important political speeches of 2016 was his closing speech. It took like, it was a 3 to 5 minute speech in June of 2016, his closing argument on national TV for the Leave campaign. He was the official head of the Leave campaign, or one of the co-heads, I think it was. And he gave a speech on national TV. They had a debate that night, and it was magnificent. And all I was telling him all weekend is just to incorporate those themes, the same themes. Basically, he was saying that June 23rd was Independence Day for Great Britain. Their Independence Day would be like our July 4th.
Is that the date?
That's the day of the vote, yeah. And that's the... Yeah. It's time to believe in our Great Britain.
So there you go. And conclusive proof that they are intimately connected, and we move forward. Obviously there from The Guardian, video reveals Steve Bannon links to Boris Johnson. Far-right activists claimed he helped with Boris Johnson's resignation speech as foreign secretary. This came out at the time, I believe, well, it was under fire from one of these many indiscretions, shall we say. So the video itself was from The Brink, which follows Bannon through the 2018 midterm elections in the United States, shedding light on his efforts to mobilize and unify far-right parties in order to win seats in the May 2019 European parliamentary elections. Just as an aside to that, one of his allies, Le Pen in France, Marine Le Pen, she has been quoted in the past as saying it's far better to be within the EU to bring it down from within. I paraphrase, but that was the general gist of what she was saying, so bear that in mind. So reports of Johnson and Bannon's relationship were first published last summer, so that would have been like 2017. When asked about it at the time, Johnson said, "As for the so-called association with Steve Bannon, I'm afraid this is a lefty delusion whose spores continue to breed in the Twitter sphere." He said he had met Bannon in his role as foreign secretary and found the accusation that he was with Bannon to be perplexing. Just on that lefty delusion thing and all those kind of dog whistles, Bannon and his ilk are very much well stuck in to like attacking the left and making the left out to be the fascist, which is like, you know, standard fascist playbook going back time immemorial. But one of the reasons that people on the left are just seen as the utter devil is because of this, but also because of the media soft soap for these people, which, you know, we're going to have a look at later on. Certainly at the time, it was soft soap anyway. This is from Deutsche Welle. This is a really good outlet in Germany, actually. Deutsche Welle English do really good documentaries, something you should probably check out. Steve Bannon meets AfD's Alice Weidel during European far-right roadshow. For those who don't know, the AfD are basically the fash in Germany. Bannon met with AfD's Weidel at an event in Switzerland where he reportedly advised her on an alternative media. The former Trump strategist was also in Italy to support the far-right in national elections. This was from 2018. US President Donald Trump's former chief strategist, Stephen Bannon, is not too much of a nationalist to advise the leader of Germany's far-right wing party, it seems, according to Deutsche Welle. Fresh off a visit to Italy to support far-right parties in that country's general election, the Office of Alternative for Germany leader Alice Weidel confirmed late on Tuesday that she had spoken with Bannon. According to German press agency DPA, the two met in Zurich, where Bannon was speaking at an event about the populist revolts and their global consequences for Switzerland, Europe, and America, hosted by the conservative weekly Weltwoche. Weidel's office said Bannon could offer expertise on political strategy and alternative media channels. The AfD has already signaled its interest in starting its own news arm, claiming it mischaracterized and maligned by mainstream media, claiming it is mischaracterized, in fact. And so, man, this is like, we're not even like anywhere near scratching the surface at this point, but I just wanted at this point to illustrate the sort of links between these far-right parties and how they're collectivized under one network. From Newsweek, Giorgia Meloni, eagle-eyed viewers, no stranger to that name. Obviously, we put something out, and I'll stick it as a clickable link at the end with other videos in this sort of arena, so you can just see how these things connect up. Newsweek, Giorgia Meloni set to give Steve Bannon a huge victory for his revolution. Former White House strategist Steve Bannon may be another step closer to achieving his goal of seeing a far-right populist movement spread across Europe should Giorgia Meloni become Italy's new prime minister. We know now that that's occurred. From the Times also, Trump's top advisor, Steve Bannon, hails Giorgia Meloni as Thatcher of Italian right. She's even more far to the right than Thatcher. So, you know, this is interesting how the Times are leading with this. But if you would look at, again, the work that were produced through the week, you will see that she signed up to a bloody black-shirted fascist organization when she was 15. So it's the continued sanitization of the far right by, well, the paper of records in the United Kingdom, the Times. I mean, what the hell? So that's Bannon. We'll touch a bit more on him in a bit. What I want to go on to now is, actually, before we do, we'll take some comments, see what you think about these things so far. Jacqueline Hemmings, didn't David Cameron have links with AFD while he was PM? Jacqueline, off the top of my head, I think what it was when we're in the European Union, there's different blocks within the European Union, like affinity groups and whatnot, as you've seen. And I think there was talk of Cameron and, or at least the Conservative MEP block, joining that particular far-right block at the time. I think because of an outcry, it didn't happen, or the left. I can't remember off the top of my head, but that is the gist of it, I believe. So yeah, there you go. Bob Grady, watching on YouTube today there, Bob. Nice one. You were anyway. Bannon is evil personified. Yeah, I agree. And good morning, everybody. Saying good morning as well. Nice to see you here again. Thank you for being here. Right, so moving forwards and moving on. Boris Johnson's leaving speech. We all know he's really verbose. He likes the classics, and I believe he studied that at one of the Oxford universities. And he likes to talk a lot of shit. So anyway, he referenced somebody called Cincinnatus. This is this section of the speech, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that when we come back.
Say that I am now like one of those booster rockets that has fulfilled its function, and I will now be gently re-entering the atmosphere and splashing down invisibly in some remote and obscure corner of the Pacific. And like Cincinnatus, I am returning to my plow. And I will be offering this government nothing but the most fervent support. This is, I'll tell you why, this is a tough time for the economy. This is a tough time for families up and down the country. We can and we will get through it, and we will come out stronger the other side. But I say to my fellow Conservatives, it's time for politics to be over, folks. It's time for us all to get behind Liz Truss and her team and her programme and deliver for the people of this country.
Hello. So anyway, you referenced Cincinnatus there and then went on to like support Liz Truss and blah, blah, blah. How lovely, Boris. What is, who is Cincinnatus? So from ITV News, who was Cincinnatus and why did Boris Johnson mention him in his speech Tuesday the 6th of September, this year, of course. Boris Johnson's reference to an ancient Roman leader in his final speech as prime minister has sparked speculation he is hinting at a future political comeback. Yeah, I was speculating it then as well. Mr. Johnson returned to a long-favoured topic, the classics, as he appeared to liken himself to Cincinnatus, a leader who returned to his plough at the end of his tenure. In a speech in which the outgoing PM pledged his support to the incoming Prime Minister, historians were quick to catch the historical reference. They pointed out how, according to legend, Cincinnatus left his retirement to serve once again as Rome's leader during a time of crisis. Historian Mary Beard, whom Mr. Johnson once debated on the relative merits of ancient Greece versus ancient Rome, commented that Cincinnatus was a 5th century BC Roman politician who saved the state from an invasion, then job done, returned to his farm, to his plough. He was an enemy of the people, she added. Really? Well, indeed. I mean, Boris Johnson, in my opinion, is an enemy of the people, but what he's very, very adept at is talking a whole load of crap and having people hanging off the end of his every word, apart from people who actually look into who he is and what he's about. And I mean, you know, people, that was all in the public domain and has been in the public domain, what he's about, picking enemies with watermelon smiles. The man's an absolute racist. But he will also say whatever he wants to bloody say and just be whoever he wants to be to an attempt to accumulate power. And the mad thing is, I mean, I watched a documentary many years ago, and it was talking about when he was at school and how he was brazen about how, excuse me, he was brazen about how the fact he just wanted to be world king. And that's as a kid. Can you imagine like having Stanley Johnson as your dad? All he'll do is fan the flames of that stuff because it's a frisk to him. The man's absolutely off his lips. And so what we have now is further links to fascist networks or just straight up fascists. So well, some of you will know who Viktor Orban is. For those who don't, Viktor Orban is Hungary's elected leader. So it says here, CPAC to host Trump, Hungary's Orban, Bannon, and others at Texas conference. This was just from August the 6th this year. Former President Trump, Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban, and former White House strategist Steve Bannon are among figures who will deliver remarks at the Conservative Political Action Conference, also known as CPAC, this week in Dallas, Texas. So just a primer here of what you need to know about this. Beginning on Thursday, the conference organized by the American Conservative Union will run through Sunday, with the former president scheduled to speak on Saturday as the keynote speaker. Other figures who are scheduled to speak at the event in Texas include Texas Senator Ted Cruz, Governor Greg Abbott, Senate nominee J.D. Vance of Ohio, Sean Hannity of Fox News, Hannity, Republican Jim Jordan, and former governor of Alaska, Sarah Palin. Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban, who is considered a close ally of Russian President Vladimir Putin. I won't be exploring any of these Rusky links in this particular one, but look into it for yourself. I think that's something that I'd like to follow up in the future where things become a bit clearer, if you get me drift. Vladimir Putin, Viktor Orban will be delivering a speech at the conference titled How We Fight on Thursday afternoon. Orban's headline slot has raised concerns about Republicans embracing an autocrat who has been criticized for undermining democratic institutions and consolidating power in his own country, advised by Bannon. But this is the thing, right? These people are being putting themselves around the likes of Orban. I mean, I suppose putting themselves around the two cheeks of the same arse. So it says, Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban, who is considered a close ally of Russian President Vladimir Putin, will be delivering a speech called How to Fight. The conservative European leader has pushed restrictive immigration policies and has faced backlash for remarks decried as racist, anti-immigrant, and anti-Semitic. Orban's appearance in Texas arrives after he was recently criticized for a speech he delivered in Romania, where he denounced race mixing. The Hungarian leader described how Europeans should avoid mixing with non-Europeans, as we do not want to become peoples of mixed race. Right, riddle me this, Batman. If somebody coming out with something nakedly far-right, fascist, and evil as that is being invited and like even being allowed in America, right? But is these other people I've just read out there, Hannity, all these other people, Hannity obviously a media figure, like Greg Abbott, Republican figures at CPAC. If that's happening, why isn't this being screamed from the rooftops? Why isn't this being put wall to wall across the media? Fucking why? Because it's bought and paid for, that's why. I mean, let us play you some utter soft soap, right? This is from Talk TV, where have a think about how if this wasn't Boris Johnson, it would be dealt with. I mean, a really good other side of the coin example is Jeremy Corbyn. So think of this. Every time they mention Boris Johnson, swap out the words, swap out Jeremy Corbyn and see how it makes you feel.
I find it in myself to be indignant about this. I mean, he is a great after-dinner speaker. And
entertaining.
You know,
very
what, if that cost is spread over a lot of people for their tickets or whatever, I think he'd be brilliant, and I kind of just don't resent it at all.
Although it sounds like he's fallen foul of the rules yet again, because when you leave office, you're
so
not
boring.
Meant to do this for 3 months.
Wow. Oh, so it's when he abide by any rules.
So when Theresa May,
he
signed on with a speaking agency, which he shouldn't have done until 3 months because of all the civil servants and secrets acts and all that, blah, blah, blah. So Theresa May, of course, was never going to earn as much money as Boris Johnson was. But when she signed on, she did it all by the book.
She
put it
did.
In the Register of Members' Interests, and he's just...
Who disciplines him? I mean, also, I've heard him speak multiple times. He's very funny.
But
he's a great raconteur.
He's very funny, but he makes the same speech.
And
so two things, Talk TV there, Ghoul FM, whatever you want to call it, right? They are sitting there going, oh, good Boris, man. He's like going up there earning $150,000 a time, which is where he is now in America, right? So who is he meeting in America right now? Now, obviously, you know, America's a big place. So there's no evidence that I have of any other meetings that he is having there. But he's doing a tour, getting 150 grand a pop. And he shouldn't be doing it because you've got to wait 3 months due to parliamentary rules before you can. Also, I've got no love for Theresa May, the she-wolf of bloody Windrush. But she's one of these people who does all these things by the book. And the presenters on Talk TV there are just like, does everything by the book. Weird, eh? Now, as I said beforehand, imagine if you were swapping out Jeremy Corbyn and it was like, oh, didn't mind Corbyn, man. He's just a cheeky little scamp. And like, yeah, he breaks rules, but that's what he does. He breaks rules. This is how it seems to be. Create a character, because he is a character, Boris Johnson. He styles himself as a character with his mad hair and his craziness and that. But people who actually know him behind the scenes know how vicious he is, know how... he's not the person that he puts himself forward as. But you'd be forgiven for thinking, well, why aren't the media actually reporting this? Well, why aren't the media actually reporting who he really is to the level that Corbyn was slandered and smeared? You could literally pull 1% of the things that Boris Johnson has done and splatter them everywhere, and there's no accountability mechanism for him to the level that it should be. They're talking seriously on media, as we've seen at the GMB clip at the start of this show. They're talking seriously about bringing him back. Now, as I say, like, I can see it happening. I've been able to see this happening and mentioned this on the show, probably the same day, the first show back. Because it seems obvious, given the connections, given the way democracy has been like manipulated and messed around with. It would seem obvious that people say like, oh, he can't come back because of of everything that he's done. Him coming back as prime minister is nowhere near the top end of the outrages that these people have committed on the population, because they know we can't do anything about it. There's no mechanism for that. And the opposition are toothless. The opposition aren't going to do anything about it. That's supposed to be our mechanism. Why aren't they pointing these things out? Because guess what? Keir Starmer is about to be absolutely torn asunder by the ghouls. It started with Penny Mordaunt the other day mentioning these 10 pledges that he broke. And this is what happens when somebody equally is dishonest in Keir Starmer, because that's what he is. He's another character put forward, right? Bit of a shit one, but he's another character that's been put forward, which isn't relevant to who he is behind the scenes. So, very interested in what you think and feel. So let's see what comments we've got. Zoe Jarrett is saying, and lovable rogues allowed to break the rules makes me sick. Cheers for that video as well that you nudged us up about before, mate. Thanks for that. Makes me sick too. Also, Robert saying, how can Orban get into the USA? I'm going to assume that it's something to do with, like, it bleeds into diplomatic immunity because he's a head of state or something. I honestly don't know, but it's surprising to me. Right, what else we got here? Ashley Smith. The film Amsterdam at the cinema now is about the foiling of a far-right coup in America before the Second World War. It feels like it's happening again, but no one is capable of stopping it. Haven't seen that, Ashley. I'll have a look. Bloody hell, man. Bob Grady is saying Boris should never have been allowed anywhere near any power in government. I agree, shouldn't, but the problem is that the political system and everything around it is absolutely and utterly corrupt. And this is the problem that we're facing. We need system change. It's not a case of rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic, because as we've seen and as we detailed earlier this week, the Labour Party are getting their excuses in early. They're already doing the whole, like, the Tories have messed up so bad, we can't do all the good Labour things. Starmer literally used that terminology, the good Labour things. Oh, so you're going to be the bad Labour now, are you? Some of us live through Blair. Some of us see the Blair 2.0 project. But anyway, I think the Tories will not fight an election with any of the mugs that they've got currently because of the populism of Boris Johnson, and he's still very popular, I think, by people who don't pay attention or just want to buy into the mass delusion that's going on in the world at the moment, because people are frightened, people are scared, and psychologically, like throughout history, they've always looked to what they perceive to be great leaders, whether they are or not. The majority of leaders throughout history are a bit like the reveal of the wizard at the end of The Wizard of Oz. It's just some mad old sado, like, project themselves as something they're not. But the problem is there's no pulling aside of the curtain at the end. Nobody's there to pull aside and show you who the wizard really is. Nobody in power, that is, at least. But at the end of the day, facts remain. Facts are what they are. And without getting all Ben Shapiro, facts don't care about your feelings. But in some respects, that's true. So if you are triggered by this far-right people, just know that you're all bloody snowflakes. Anyway, please do comment, rate, and subscribe. Help us keep flying up the charts, but also as well, we're well on way to getting the channel monetized on YouTube. So if you can leave a comment, watch back, and really just help support that way. It's about watch hours and getting that sorted. So if you want us to continue doing this kind of work, please go to patreon.com/cowdaily. Or if you want to make a one-off donation, it'll work. Links in the description of PayPal. Thanks, mate. Nice to see you. And I'll see you tomorrow. I'll do everything I can to get the other pre-record out today. If not, it'll be first thing tomorrow morning. We'll still go ahead with another one tomorrow. We've got guests coming over the next week, so still be putting shows out, but after that we'll be going 12 noon every day once I've built a new studio away from this shared office space, because sometimes I've got to work around other people. So all the best, everybody. Much love, and I will see yous tomorrow. Bye bye now.